Okay, so I think we're going to go ahead and start. This is about evaluating team performance within Debian. It's Andreas Thiele and Sukhbar Singh. So I'm going to turn it over to them. If you guys have questions, raise your hand. I can get the mic to you. Here you go.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. Nice to see you here. It's a specific pleasure for me to present this Google Summer of Code project because it's the first project I'm mentoring as mentor, and I have a really great student, and Alexis, and so I think this talk will be just fun. What was the motivation for this? I think it was 3 years ago when I wondered who are the members of our team. It was actually the Debian Med team, and I did not find a real good answer, and so I was thinking about who is regularly posting on our mailing list as a first means. And I did some graphing and I was astonished that I can see really who is inside the team and also who left the team, which is interesting. You are wondering why are these people leaving the team and so, and are there any problems? And are enough members in our team? And all these questions somehow showed up, and I thought, well, this is an interesting thing. For instance, this was my first graph updated now. And you see, in the first time, I was quite alone for 3 years. And then came some members. And it's actually not so important, this high peak, which is just me. But important is there are other peoples which are also there. And so I think the run over by bus factor is quite good in this team. So you have a solid base. We actually lost somebody who is not active in our team anymore, but he is still in Debian.
Is it a specific team?
Yes, it's the Debian Med team. This is the initial team I started. And once I presented a graphics like this in Argentina, people told me, hey, cool, can I see this graph from my team? And so I thought, well, why not? But as it is, if you are doing a presentation, it was just a quick hack. And I did this just, I was browsing the web archive for names and so, and it showed up, it's not good code and nothing. And finally, we also said, well, on the mailing list, you are just chatting. Who are the people who are committing code? Who are the people who upload packages? And all this stuff should be done, and we should also try to do a fair evaluation. There might be people who are just quoting text and say, yes, I agree. And so this is not really work. And so Sukhbar had some interesting ideas how we can do it better. We will prepare later. And so we now again for more flexibility in the evaluation, and did some technical enhancements over this quick hack. So what did we have we done? In addition to this mailing list analysis, we also are analyzing VCS commits currently in SVN and Git, and what packages or who in the team has uploaded on behalf of the team. If you have any ideas, we can discuss it later. Maybe some teams are more or less communicating in IRC also, which is not the case in those teams, but there are probably chances and ideas we could discuss later or now. But the good thing in the sum of code, you have somebody who implements the stuff. And I can sit and wait now, and I'm waiting for the introduction of Sukhbar. So have fun.
Hi. So Andreas had already done most of the work, but we decided that we'll start it from scratch because it was just a series of hacks. So we needed something that would be easier to maintain, and so we wrote everything right from scratch. So it's very fast as compared to the previous code because for most operations, we SSH into Elioth and then perform them locally. So like for the Debian Med repository, it took us like 12 to 14 hours initially. But when we started this approach, it just takes us two to three hours. So it's fast. Like, you don't have to do anything. This is what Andreas started. And every project has a mailing list. We measure who are the most active contributors. So quantity is not the only metric, because quality also of communication does matter. Because if you're talking too much and it's not substantial, it doesn't matter much. And we handle spam. So you do not need to worry about it. So in the final result, we automatically remove the spam, so we just get a list of the top contributors. So since I'm a Summer of Code student, so we have this SOC coordination mailing list, and this is from the data we graphed, and as you can see, OBAuthor is at the top, but you can see how it varies. Like in 2010, we have Stefano who is contributing the most, and in 2011, we have Anna who is contributing the most. So this is what we are aiming at. This is a very simple data. We are measuring many more things in it. The number first thing is frequency of posting, which is just who the number of postings. And then we have, this is something which we added, this is new. So we take into account the raw length of the message body and the length of the body excluding blank lines and quotes. And finally, this is, I think, the most concrete metric because we remove every clutter possible. And we remove the blank lines, we remove the quotes, and we remove the signature. So we have something which tells us concretely who actually talks better. Like, it's not over just quantity, it's quality also. Yeah, so anything which you would like to contribute to this, because this is all we have been able to come up with.
I just want to, there are a couple of different readability metrics that you could use if you're interested in seeing who's posting things that are comprehensible as opposed to lengthy. I feel like this would give people more sort of points if they post very long, flame war type things or impenetrable technical jargon. And maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know what the metrics would be, but it might be interesting to try to apply some of those to the filtered without blank lines, without quotes, without signatures.
Yeah, but that is the only problem, because then how do we actually measure in a mailing list, like who talks the most substantial thing, because that's not possible, so.
Yeah.
Anyone else would like to contribute anything to this? Because we need more, yeah.
For every email that is sent, what the number of emails I've sent, what percentage of those have actually been followed up by someone else? So if I keep sending emails that are not relevant, they'll be ignored.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah.
How about attachments? Because people often send patches to the mailing list because they are not a real member of the team yet, and yeah, post one, two patches, and then someone says, "Yeah, you're a good guy, join us." Do you count the attachments in or not?
We measure commit stats, so maybe somehow that I think should be taken care of that. But right, no, nothing specific about patches, no. Can you elaborate some more, like what are you trying to get?
Not really. If you send in a Git patch, so, and someone applies it to the repository, then he is a committer.
Yeah.
But when you use SVN or something for your team, then the committer is the person who committed it, really.
Yeah.
So the contribution isn't attributed to the person who sent the patch, and he won't show up in your metrics at all, or just when he really joins the team, so he missed the history.
I think that this might happen, but I think if you want to have the global image, it will not happen so often that somebody is just sending his commits, 50 commits via email, he then becomes a member and really commits to it. So this might happen, but it's probably hard to measure. The idea is fine, but I think it's more effort than it's worth. We should do about it.
Okay. So now we come to this. We have started including VCS commits also, because I think we don't have many metrics, so we just have to make use of the ones which we already have. So again, quantity is not equal to quality. So we also measure the number of lines added and number of lines deleted. So it is, but we don't, because we have very limited number of metrics, so we have to make use of the ones which we already have, no matter how poor or bad they are. Like, lines of code is hardly a good metric. Like, suppose if in a Git repository you commit a binary file, you will see that it has, like, if you commit an image file, it will have 500 lines committed. So it's a poor metric, we know, but there's nothing we can do about it because these are the only metrics which we can measure. Okay, now we have the challenges, like the problems which we faced. So this is the first problem because we have no solution to this other than, yeah.
You do have mbox archive of list Debian org on master. Every DD can access it.
Okay, you can continue. Yeah, sure.
I can elaborate on this. As I said, I started with a web archive because the mboxes were not publicly readable. Okay? And this is was really crap. And this is, you have a, some Python module which can pass NNTP. And actually, there are mboxes on master. And I can pass them, but not he and not the public. And we want to publish this data. And as long as we elaborated with the list masters and asked and kept on asking them, can you please publish these mboxes? Because it's branded stupid on Elliot. We have mboxes, he has a code for mboxes, but we can't use the mboxes on list.debian.org. If there is anybody who knows list master and could help us that they publish it some way, he would be really, really happy.
So. Because right now it was extra code, but we fetch them through NNTP, then we create an mbox, and then we pass it. So it was they refused because they said it was not there were privacy issues with this. So
I wonder if you should talk to Enrico about measuring contributions because he has this nifty script which he says is very fast and. Apparently also works well, so of mining change logs, and I think the notion, so you say lines of code is not a good metric, but yeah. Probably team member contributions to bug logs is quite interesting, and team members being mentioned in change logs is also quite interesting.
Right. So for the way we measure we measure performance in the NM process, unfortunately cannot be done automatically. Besides, there's an EU directive saying that you cannot automatically evaluate the performance of somebody that you want to hire, and we abide to that. But jokes apart, it's not just grepping the change logs that gives you results. It's not numbers, because then you go and read, and maybe you only find things that did not really require work in the changelogs. That rarely happens, but you'd like to see that there are substantial changelog entries. And even the way we grep for changelogs cannot be automated. I cannot make an automatic thing to click for an applicant and that fishes up a changelog, because names can be ambiguous. It needs intelligence to build up the query for something that kind of only gives you the changelog of that person. And unfortunately, we have two people called Luca Bruno in Debian. They are... we can't use mine changelogs on them, unfortunately. Because in that case it's ambiguous, but and even again, as it's been mentioned before, for mailing list, if we look at mailing list activity, we just call up via DD portfolio like all messages of some person, and we go through them. And if we want to look for commit activity or BTS activity, we kind of do the same. If you count committed lines of code, and all somebody does is reformatting source files. Then they have loads of lines added and removed. And I wanted to suggest to count lines removed, because often they're the most useful passes.
Yeah, we do that.
But yeah, again, you know, when you sort of reformat pieces of code, then, right, okay. That's the same. So I can be asked about manually sort of putting intelligence into evaluating people's performance and doing it efficiently. But if you want to compute like a karma number or something, I am not the expert in the room for that. I'm sorry.
We actually do not want to measure the karma. We want to know if there are 10 or 20 people working on the same project. We are not proud on being high on top on this list. It's important to have several people and not only one.
In that case, I think it's enough to say there is activity over time, and you can already just not, you don't even need to measure the number of lines committed, you just measure the number of commits. And say, and see that, you know, there are commits in a day, and how many days in a month there are commits. And you set a threshold and you say that person's active in the team in that month. Or messages and so on. There is activity in the month from that person in that team. That would probably be enough to say to say that person's active.
So as I said, it's not a competition what we want to do. It's just to see, is there a problem in the team? Are we losing people or are we winning people? Yeah, this is the point, and it's really helped a lot for me to a little bit understand where are problems in the teams. When I made my analysis, I've seen teams consisting of one person, and so this team has a really problem, and what are the reasons, and what can I learn from this? This is something like this. I really like the idea to check for bugs which people might have fixed in the team.
Yeah.
I think I have a good idea how to do it with UDD, and yeah. And about names, you will be astonished. We have a single Debian developer who's using 6 or 7 different strings for spelling its name, and this is the maximum. And there are several with only one. And I found some way to derive a table from the UDD which has identical names for those that have one name and one person, and then probably I have two persons or mixed and two or whatever. So the details to make sure that you get really the person are quite hard. Some people are changing their email there and earlier there are name minus guest and then they become name or even different name, and so this makes the stuff under the hood a little bit hard, but I think finally you see an image about the team. It's not a question to discuss, is this person just reformatting or not? I can't believe that one single person has fun in doing 1,000 reformats of code and is top committer in this team. I can't imagine this one. So any further questions, comments?
Just to comment on the reformatting, if there is a team that decides that their code base needs to be changed to a new set of coding conventions, the person who does the grunt work of actually doing the transition is a valuable member of the team, even if it's not, you know, significant intellectual labor.
And to second your point, I think with thousands have many commits and huge load of data, it will be just noise. These things, and if it's real work, then it will be there. And okay.
I'm a little bit wondering why nobody writes the problem of privacy, which is which we should talk about it. If you can show one of these graphs, please, or either the last one, because well, when I did the first graphs, I had full names there, and people said they are not allowed to do this. And okay. I agreed, and now we cut off the last name, which somehow worked, but you know these people, everybody in the room knows who this. Is there anybody who sees some problem in this?
No, I'd like to interject, because this information is public anyway, so if you are contributing to a public mailing list, you are specifically told it's going to be public. You're not being forced to participate. If it's private, you're told it's private, so...
Yeah, I mean, I would say, yes, there are problems with it being public, but the problems are not with the work you're doing. The problems are with the mailing list. And if we're discouraging contributors because they feel that they can't participate because of the publicity, then that is potentially a problem. However, the openness is the trade-off there, and I don't know that we can make any other decision.
And, well, if there's a privacy issue, Oloch should close. because Oloch is doing exactly the same thing. I don't know if you know about it. It's this website that basically does that. Well, as far as I'm concerned, although I asked, the problem with Oloch is probably not that they do that, but I emailed them saying that they were misrepresenting me in my work and I would like them to take down my name from the site. I just do not want to appear because I do not want to spend time fixing my information in there and adding to their value. They're not free software people, so. And, you know, I do not want to put work in it and I do not like the way you represent me. So please take my name down. And they basically told me to fuck off. And I think it's at that last point that you have a privacy issue in such thing. It's stuff that's publicly accessible and you mine it.
Yeah.
Fine. But, and then as long as the moment somebody tells you, you know, please take me off.
Yeah, so that thing, we will do that if someone asks.
Yeah, then that's no problem. I think there's no problem. That
oh, okay, okay. So you just recommend that we have some sort of form if you want to take your name out of this, you can contact us. Then, okay.
I perfectly agree with this. This was also my argument. But when we're discussing this, I learned something that if you aggregate public data, become somehow new data because this aggregation process is something not everybody can do. So this is actually new data. And I have no problem, I would not be here if I think it's wrong, but I'm just asking. And for instance, what could happen if the employer of Obey Arturo said, what have you done in 2009? Oh, you was chatting all the time in Google Summer School. Yeah, this could be a problem. So. I think for our stuff, it's not a problem, but I would like, I just raised this point. I'm not thinking that it's true, but I just want to hear your opinion.
Well, given that the goal of this particular project is the evaluation of teams, it seems like you could present the information with no names attached at all to simply say, is the team healthy? Look at the number of contributors. Look at how the contributors change over time. So you have a consistent color per person. And maybe we don't need to know who the name is, unless it's a team that only has one color showing up, right? If everything you see there is a red bar and then nothing, then maybe you want to know who that person is so you can help them out. But if that's already the case and you know the name of the team, you go to the team's mailing list and you could probably find that person.
So, should I proceed? This is the second problem which we have been having, so because it doesn't seem to work. We need someone who's good with Git, so if you know how to do that. Because upstream, we want to remove the upstream contributors, so then in some mailing lists, in some repositories, there are lots of them, so much so that they overshadow the other members of the team. So,
the actual cases we have. Formally, I just investigated in the commits via mailing list, and then you see the commit which was sended by the daemon after commit to mailing list. And now Sukhbir is investigating the real commits and on the Git logs and the SVN logs. And then you see we have some upstream developers who are really, really active in upstream and are committing to our Git repository and doing two or three change lookinds in the Debian directory. And this, we have a very specific case. This rises, it is the highest committer in our whole team, even if he has committed nearly nothing to the Debian packaging. And yeah, the solution comes up. And I just wanted to explain why it's on the slide. And so it's a little bit for technical from the Git point of view.
So I guess I just wanted to know if my script I sent you doesn't work, please tell me and I'll fix it.
Yeah. Okay.
This is thanks to David. It is basically solved. He just got the code in Perl, and which should be helpful to solve it. These slides are a little bit older. He wanted to show the problems he had. So, same answer? A similar answer?
Yeah, okay. But you can try because anything new is welcome.
Yeah, I wanted to suggest you usually have an upstream branch and the Debian branch, and you can measure the delta of the two branches because the upstream will have only the upstream commits usually.
Yeah, but anyways, I think I tried, but it didn't work out. So maybe there's something which I'm missing.
So anybody who, for better or worse, followed my advice probably wouldn't have a Debian-only commits on a separate branch.
But unfortunately, people don't follow your advice.
Your problem would be because of them following my advice. So I think that in general it's not useful, or at least I find it not useful. I see how it would be useful for you. But
But I think this problem is basically solved. This code is there and should be okay.
We need them because I've been requesting for this from the start because we are not fully convinced and we have time left, so it's not about time also. Any new way of measuring performance is very much welcome because we need them. This is the maximum which we could come up with because we tried everything and
stay next to you.
So I think one very interesting metric would be commits from team members upstream, and then you have to sort, you have your problem again. But I think that this is a huge contribution if people make fixes which end on your team, make fixes which end up and they do the work of getting it upstream. I think that's something that's really important for Debian.
But I think it would only work for people who are using Git. Otherwise, you can't see it. And we have teams which are using mixed repositories, and you have wrong tendencies to use this, to have, if you observe the Git people, and others don't use Git.
Maybe I've missed it. But something like new DDs coming from a team within a certain time frame would also be interesting information. Advocations, NMs, or DMs, and yeah.
So you mean that if we learn that some DMs or DDs come to this team because they are members of the team, this would be a good sign in this aspect or just to make sure I understand.
How do I put this? Members of the teams who get advocated by other team members to enter the NM process.
I think we have a lot of them in DebianMate. Perhaps it's in different teams. I think we have 8 or even 10 people gathered for Debian. So perhaps we can find this somehow.
I guess you can measure wiki page edits. But there will be a problem with mapping of a wiki author with an email or something.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah.
Yeah, I actually read the change logs of those which are tech Debian made, but it's hard to find a way to tell what wiki page is for what team. It's, if there's a clear mapping team, wiki page, but yeah, we can think about it.
In Python teams or wiki pages related to our teams start with Python / something, so that's...
Okay, so you're suggesting to start with the team name and then, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, we might consider it.
Yeah, yeah.
Just checking. Anybody else?
So this is what we have done till now. It's been, I guess, 2 months, I don't know, yeah. We have mailing list for Elliot, and which works very well because Piper Mail has all the archives already, so we just fetch them and pass them. For lists.debian, we had lots of discussions, and then finally we fetch them over NNTP, then we create mboxes, and then we throw them over to the Elliot parser, so that's how it works. So Git and SPN repositories are complete, and what is incomplete is I think this won't take much time. Like, we'll be fetching package upload data from the ultimate Debian database and the thoughts which you presented. And finally, we'll have something like it will be easier for you to fetch the information, like Popcorn, for example, does that. So you can easily check, like, in the month of August in 2011, who was the most active contributor, something like this. Right? I think that's it. This is our website, and we have a public mailing list, so if you have any thoughts, you can get in touch with us.
I have a suggestion or problem I face in the Debian Games team. We have over 170 members, and yeah, well, I fetched the list on Aliot. I did not members as in logins in the group, so not grouped together with the old alias and the new DD login. And from my poor Python scripts, about 80 people did not commit and did not mail since the January of 2010. It would be really good to have a possibility to ping all those people, most probably over your interface, because it has all the data already.
Yeah.
So tell, hey, are you still interested in being in the team, or should we just remove you now and you can rejoin later when you have the time? Because when we do meetings, we are 20 people in the channel, we don't know, are we everyone who is interested to work at the moment, or should we wait more? Do we need more opinions, or can we just decide on our own because we are the majority currently online?
So you actually want to use the data and ping the members to ask them whether they want to still contribute or not?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good idea, yeah. Because that would be actually making use of this, the data which we have gathered, yeah. Yeah.
It was similar for me. We had in an Aliot, there are 90 or 100 people, and I think 30% of them never did a single commit. They just subscribed because they liked the idea of the project and thought this is something good.
So I think another way to sort of publicize this that would be nice for the project is to just send an email that maybe goes into Debian Devel Announce or something, just highlighting the teams that you found that do seem to have an active and healthy community in them, just so people can acknowledge that one of our values in the project is to actually have active and healthy communities. So not to like highlight the teams that aren't actually teams, don't highlight the teams that are of one person, but highlight the teams that are actually teams that are functional and say, you know, we want to acknowledge, you know, based on our rough heuristics, these folks seem to be doing a good job at fostering
that culture.
Yeah,
that's a really good idea, yeah.
It's probably no reliable way of doing this, but it might be useful for certain teams to be able to distinguish members between active and passive. So for instance, I have a few packages in the Python team, so I'm not really taking, I don't consider myself an active member of the team, but I just version control my stuff there so that I make it easier for other people to do changes. So if you can say there are X members, active members in the Python team, I think it would be useful to know how many of those are actually, you know, contributing to the whole package set or just have their own.
So how do you, I mean, what do you suggest on how we do that? Because
so I guess we agree that that would be a useful thing to know.
Yeah, but then if you want others vouching for you, or you will vouch for yourself, that is what I want to know. How do you want this to happen? Because
I guess you could see if certain people tend to consistently commit only in packages in which they are either a maintainer or an uploader.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, you could look at commit messages or change logs. I don't know.
I think you can't tell if people consider themselves a member of the team. If they upload on behalf of the team, they are, for us, per definition, member of the team. This is what we call a member of the team. And you can't, it should not count the number. It's just what you have done counts, even if you say, well, I'm not so close to this team, but you have done some workout. If you post it to the mailing list, if you don't show up frequently, you are not on this graph. And so.
Yeah, because we just take the top, I think we'll just take the top X contributors or something, not everyone, so yeah. Okay, so I guess that's it. If you have any questions or suggestions, please.
So we also tried it. If you take everybody, you get also the last spammer who fetched by our spam protection stuff. So it makes sense to have the most active 10 or 20, or in large teams 30, but not more. And if you are committing only very few, then you are not visible in the statistics. This was actually also the sense to the idea of mine to get rid of everything which is not so important for the team. It's specifically also spam and so on.
Hi. Could this be used to identify possibly orphaned packages within the team, as in packages that are under the team but no one is actually actively working on them?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, because we have not touched that part yet. I'll do that once I get back. So maybe yeah.
So anybody else? Any ideas?
Do you have any overall statistics to show about the number of the teams in Debian, or are there some results we can see?
Yeah, I think from the we have actually like for testing we have gathered lots of data, so I think we have that right now.
I can show you where you can find all this stuff. Yeah, you can see what I've come to.
There are at this address at blends.debian.net list stats. You find text files, which is important for accessibility, because I got a hint. The Debian accessibility team want to see their committers and they can't pass this. And the PNG files. And this is updated once a month. And if you want to see some results, by chance, I have this graph shown to after the DPL talk, because you see Stefano Zaccioli, it was the most active poster, and he dropped his activity when he was becoming DPL. So you actually see something in these graphs. Yeah. And there are other examples. This is accessibility list you see. Samuel Thibault is very active, Mario Lang, and then the activity drops a bit. But I think this is actually a good team, because there are quite a few people. They don't lose many people, and they are doing something. MD64, I think this team is just because it's not used anymore. There's no use. MD64 is completely normal, and there's not much to discuss. For ARM, it happened a little bit later, something. And, well, I think it's also quite okay. Blends commit. This is because I have all the work with the blends. You see? I would love to have some more here. So this is a not so good working team. The blends mailing list, there was a lot of discussion in the beginning. This was when we renamed CDD to Blends. There was a lot of discussing. Debian boot list. Yeah, this is I'm a little bit sad if I look on this list and see that we lost the famous one. And technical committee. Curiosa, who is chatting the most in Debian? You can tease us. But it's not so used anymore by the active people. Debian Blends commit. Yeah, I'm just I'm the most frequent chatter, but I'm not the most frequent upload of code. So you can read this from these graphs. And I actually have 5 minutes left. I have also some graphs of the upload activity. Oops. You see, these graphs are all on this URL. Oops, uploaders, Debian Live Team. Yes, Debian upload. This is about the uploads of packages in the Debian GIS team here, for example. You see, there are not so many people. I really love to make this a stronger team because they could join if all the OpenStreetMap guys would join this team and they make form a real strong team. They could be real strike force to make Debian as a distribution for geographical information system. But they don't believe me. They don't do it. Debian Live Team. This is basically Daniel Baumann. He does a good job, but somebody could support him. Debian Med Team. Yeah, okay. This here you can see it because I was losing in the number of commits. I obviously have larger commits, and Charles has more tiny commits because I'm winning again if you count the number of uploads. So. Whatever this means. As I said, we do not make a competition. Important is that we got here these people. This is the most important thing, not these high numbers. It's okay. But. And actually, we have also some, I think 15 to 20 people are active here. This is okay. For I must say, for a quite niche, that is 20 up. The Debian Med is a quite a niche topic. And there is not so much use of it, and got a nice a larger team. Here we try to measure the top 20 uploaders to see how it, what it makes from the use. And here you get the committers with only one commit, and this is basically a QA also. So it's not so interesting anymore. It might be interesting up to 15 or so. It depending from the size of the team. For Debian Science, there are more people, it's more interesting. Yeah, it's Debian Science. Yeah, it looks also quite good here. Yeah, here we have the top 35 uploaders, which also does not make so much sense. And Debian team, so well, these are examples. Okay, any more questions? That's all. Thank you. Thank you.